We read together from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Our Lenten services will follow the story of Jesus raising his friend Lazarus. And this begins the story. From John 11, starting at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Let us pray. Eternal God, loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are Lord of all, that you are Lord of all seasons. And we give you thanks for this season, this period of Lent. And we pray that you will guide us by your Spirit and you will aid us by your grace, that we will use this time to search our hearts, to search our lives and make place there for the risen Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ. Hear us now for his sake. Amen. This Lenten series, we are going to follow the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, as Stuart already told us. It is quite an interesting story, and we know it as the story raising of Lazarus. Yet it is not the story of Lazarus. It is the story of Jesus. And in the same way, very much the same way, our life as Christians is not supposed to be our own story, but it's supposed to be the story of Jesus as well. Of his might, of his power, of his divine power, to show that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. Our life should display day by day, in the same way, what Jesus had done in our lives and what he's doing in our lives at the present moment. When we talk about our lives, it shouldn't be our story, the story of our weaknesses, of our illness, of our sadness, of our joy, or our success or achievement. It should be his story. He was there with me when I was ill. I gained back my strength because of him. Our lives should be indeed the story of Jesus Christ. And everything we do, everything we say, we should glorify him with that. Now in this story, the story of Jesus as he is raising Lazarus, he is not together with Lazarus. He is not even in the vicinity. If you have your Bibles, or when you go home, you turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, you will see in the previous chapter that Jesus angered the Jews, angered the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and he had to fled. He had to run away to the eastern shore of the Jordan River. He's probably about maybe 2 or even 3 days walking distance from Bethany. He's far away there. And there he receives the news that the one whom he loves is sick. Now Mary, Martha and Lazarus were the friends of Jesus. He has spent many happy hours together with them. He found a place where he could rest in their home. And it's really interesting to see the different characters these three siblings have been. Martha is often assumed to be the older one, the older sister. And in each is a kind of motherly figure. She's very caring. She's very thoughtful. She's providing for others. She's very hospitable and she's very hardworking. Mary is more like a teenage girl who is impressionable, who is open to spiritual things and likes to deal with spiritual things. And there is Lazarus, their brother, of whom we don't know too much. Some say that he was quiet, probably because there were two other women in the house. I'm not going to go into that aspect. But he's probably a quiet person. So it is quite natural for the siblings, for the sisters, to call upon Jesus when Lazarus fell ill. He loves them. He knows them. He's their friend. And they are sure, they are convinced that Jesus can help. And that's why they turn to him. Later on in the Gospel, this becomes very clear in verse 21. Martha says, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Mary quotes exactly the same thing, almost word by word, in verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They are convinced, they are sure, that if somebody can help, that is Jesus. So they sent him a word that the one whom you love is sick. It's a very short and very simple message. But the purpose of the message is not simply to give information, but it is an appeal. It is a request that Jesus might come and help. This is very interesting. The foundation of this request is Jesus' love. The one whom you love is sick. They know that Christ's love for us is indeed the basis, the foundation of hope and of faith. It is not because Lazarus loves Jesus, but because Jesus loves Lazarus. And thanks be to God that the basis of his dealings with us is his love and not our love for him. Can you imagine how insecure and how unreliable God's grace and blessing would be in our lives if it would depend on our love for him? And when Jesus receives the word, the message, that Lazarus is ill, his answer is very short, very calm, and very confident. The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified. Simply Jesus says, "I know the situation. I know the diagnosis. You don't have to worry about it. It's not going to be fatal. I am in control. The authority over this death is mine." And he knows the purpose of this illness. The outcome of it will be to glorify God and to bring glory to Jesus, God's Son, too. It is very hard for us and very difficult for us to reconcile this idea that an illness, that a suffering, that a tragedy can be for God's glory. How can God turn our pain, our suffering into his glory? But God glorifies him as he's stepping in into a life, into a suffering, into an illness. The glory is his when he's doing something about that issue. When he carries out his purpose. He wants really to draw us closer to himself, even in pain, even in illness, leading us into a more meaningful and a deeper relationship with him. That's what Jesus wants to do, to glorify God to reveal every time something new aspect about God that we will understand and know Him better. And that's what He's doing with all the miracles here in the Gospel of John. In these first 12 chapters of the Gospel of John are often called the Book of Signs. John is referring to Jesus' miracles as signs that point to God. And indeed, almost every miracle Jesus performs here are the basis of a new revelation of God. Do you remember the woman there at the well in Samaria? There Jesus reveals Himself as knowing everything about her and reveals Himself as living water. And later on, when Jesus is feeding the 5,000, that's the basis of the revelation that He is the bread of life. And just two chapters earlier in chapter 9, He's healing a man who was born blind. And that miracle is the basis to reveal Himself. He's the light of the world. And here in this story, in raising of Lazarus, the aim is to reveal Himself as the resurrection and the life. To glorify God in that. And indeed, Jesus loved them. Loved them more than they imagined or expected. As they sent the word to Jesus, that we read in verse 3, the message is this: Lord, the one you love is sick. And there, the word for brotherly love, for affectionate love, for friendship is used. And when John writes here in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, the other word for love is used. Agape. That divine love. That self-sacrificial love. That love that loves the other one more than himself. Therefore he is willing to give up himself for the other one. Now that's the true glory of God. That he loved us more than his one and only son. And gave him for us. Jesus loves them more than they can imagine. And that's why it is so startling and so surprising that this love of Jesus for them is not moving him straight away, instantly, running to Bethany to help. No, he's staying there for two more days. Because he loves them, he's staying and not going. It's quite difficult for us again to understand why is he delaying. If we approach God with a request and we know that he loves us, and he loves us more than we can imagine, why is he not jumping at the first request? Why is he delaying? He's delaying his going to Bethany because he has a greater purpose. He does not want only to heal Lazarus. He does not want only to satisfy the request of the sisters, but he wants to glorify God. For Jesus, that was always paramount and the first importance, to glorify God with everything he was doing. His aim is to lead them into a more profound faith, into a more deeper relationship with God, establish them strongly and firmly in their trust and faith in God. At the heart and the very foundation of God's dealings with us, even if those dealings are mysterious or too dark for us to understand, it's always His love, that infinite, unmerited, yet unconditional and unchanging love. It had to be a desperate time for the sisters. Seeing their brother dying, sending the message to Jesus, and yet he's not coming. How many times we have similar experiences in our lives? We find it difficult to cope with issues and situations. We have sent the word to Jesus, we prayed, and yet our prayer remained unanswered. And then we start to doubt and wonder, am I lacking something in my faith? Did I do something wrong and God is angry with me and that's why He's not answering? Was I not persistent enough to pray more and more? Did God lose interest in me and my life? The answer is not necessarily so. The answer can be that He's delaying. He's delaying to moving into our lives and to do something about our issues, about our pain or suffering or disappointment, because He has a greater purpose. He does not want only to satisfy us, but He wants to bring glory to Himself as well. He wants to lead us into a more meaningful relationship and a deeper sense of His love and care for us. He wants to move us on, that our lives should not be our story, but our lives indeed will be His story. Let us pray. Eternal God, loving Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts we come before You, giving You thanks for Your Word, for the revelation that is in Your Word, that everything Jesus did, all the miracles, the healings, were there to serve as signs pointing to You, as signs and aspects that will show us Your great love and tender mercy for us. Lord, we are often are puzzled because we don't understand. Why are You not answering swiftly, immediately, our prayers? Lord, help us to trust You, even in the greatest darkness of our lives, even in the greatest danger and pain or illness. Help us to rely upon You and trust that although You might delay Your actions, yet You will come surely. You will come and glorify Yourself, and will glorify our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, that's why we dare to pray to You. That's why we dare to bring others to You. Lord, be the guardian and protector of this creation of Yours. Provide for those who are lacking the basic necessities for life. Be the head, the King, and the Lord of Your church in this world. That with everything we do, we may bring glory to Your holy name. Be with this community here in Nogai, with our churches, with everything we do for Your glory. May Your blessing be upon our activities, and be with those who cannot be with us today because of sadness in their lives, because of bodily weakness or illness. May they know that You are the healer who might delay His coming, yet is coming with power to bring new life and new hope. And we pray especially for our minister Fergus and his family. We pray that You will strengthen them this difficult time of their lives, that they will know a deeper sense of Your communion with them, of Your grace that renews hope and gives new life. And we pray all this in the name and for the sake of our Savior, who told us to say together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.